I'd like to talk to you this morning about a life's work. More specifically, I would like to talk to you about your life's work. Now, I would maintain that there's a difference, a big difference between your life's work and the work that you do in life. You see, I'm not talking about a career, though your career is important. I'm not talking about a job or a profession that allows you to pay the bills. I am not talking to you about the planes or the boats that you have built, the products that you have sold, the IVs that you have changed, or the life-giving surgeries that you have performed. I am not talking about something that you can retire from or a business that you can sell. This is not about punching a clock for 35 or 40 years and then punching out. No, as long as you are living, you should be punched in. Punched in to your life's work. Think about your life's work and the legacy that it will leave. When your life on earth is no more, what legacy will you leave to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren? What heartfelt words will be spoken at your funeral? This is your life's work, and it has nothing to do with your stock portfolio or the degrees on the wall in your office or the trophies or the Emmys or newspaper clippings or the number of friends that you have on Facebook. And it has very little to do with possessions. Possessions are not your life's work. I have news for you. When you are gone, your car is going to someone else. Your clothes are going to senior thrift. Your collection of souvenir spoons will be sold at a garage sale. I hate to break this to you, but your heirs are going to put all of your precious stuff in three piles. Sell, give away, throw in the dumpster. And anything that is not green is going away. And anything that is green will be spent or wasted by the next generation as they accumulate their own worthless junk. Now, your life's work is very different from your career path. It is about your daily choices, the stewardship of your time and your resources, everything that God has entrusted to you. A daily choice, waking up every day believing that God has called you to serve where you are. That means that the primary calling in your life, your most important work, is in your family. Loving those who you have promised to love, forgiving and serving those who live with you. But God calls us also to keep our hearts open to strangers or to casual acquaintances that God will bring into our orbit every day of our lives. As long as there is air in your lungs, your life's work continues. Living, abundant living, living with integrity, one smile, one handshake, one good deed, one act of compassion at a time, no vacations, no holidays. Or perhaps I should quote Mac McCluskey, who said repeatedly, every day's a holiday. And Mac said that even as he was dying. You see, your life's work is mostly about your attitude. Because your life's work is a choice to be made every day. And when your life is over? The songwriting siblings known as the Avett Brothers have many beautiful songs, but I'd like to read you a few of the lyrics from one of their songs. When my body won't hold me anymore, and it finally lets me free, will I be ready? When my feet won't walk another mile and my lips give their last kiss goodbye, will my hands be steady? When I lay down my fears, my hopes, and my doubts, the rings on my fingers and the keys to my house, will I be ready? The Avett Brothers then speak of the greatest threat to our lives, The greatest threat to our abundant life, to our legacy. So what is the greatest threat to your life? What is the greatest threat to your abundant life? I got a clue for you. It is not a trade war with China. It's not Vladimir Putin or global warming. What is it? Be patient. We'll get there in a few minutes. But first, a word from the Apostle Paul, revisiting that text that Mark read for us. The Apostle Paul offers us a checklist of attributes that will assist us in working towards a good funeral and good relationships and a good night's sleep. Paul says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Now, it's pretty easy to just blow right past those without much thought. Yeah, I get it. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. But let's take them one bite at a time. Compassion. We start there. If there's one thing that I have observed in 32 years of parish ministry, 32 years of late night calls, 32 years of hospital visits, 32 years of deathbed scenes, 32 years of counseling and praying, of hearing confessions and crying with people of all walks of life. If there is one thing that I have observed clearly in those 32 years, it's this. Everyone carries a heavy load. Everyone is burdened by fear and shame and doubt and insecurity. Hear this very clearly. I'm not talking about some people. I'm not talking about most people. No, everyone carries a heavy burden. Now, you may not see it in your neighbors as they hide behind a mask of confidence, but it is there. Trust me. You may not see it behind the designer clothes or the BMW sports car, but it is there. And every Sunday, who comes here? The walking wounded come to this church. Mothers who are crying over their prodigal children who have gone astray and may never come home. Grandparents grieving about grandchildren who are in rehab. Those burdened with financial stress, marriage problems. Those caring for aging parents or spouses with dementia. The walking wounded gather here. The disabled and the diseased. Those waiting for test results, and those who are waiting to die. Those who hate their daily work and their daily commute, and those who are counting the days down to retirement. And of course, also those who retired too early and have no reason to get up in the morning. Now, the teeming masses always press in on Jesus. They always have, as we do this morning. And how did Jesus meet them? What did he greet them with? Compassion. Always compassion. Now, I might ask you, would you be compassionate to someone who is lost or dying or broken or afraid? And your answer would be, of course we would. Well, guess what? That describes everyone that you will meet today and tomorrow. So have compassion for the checker at Payless who is struggling to make ends meet. Have compassion on the waiter who messed up your order, who left home crying after fighting with his wife. Have compassion on the old person driving 30 miles an hour in a 45 zone. They're afraid of losing their independence. In every interaction with every person you meet, be compassionate. Why? Because everyone is carrying a heavy burden. And that includes those who have to live with you. That includes your spouse and teenagers. Talk about a heavy burden. Try having you as a roommate. Kindness. It costs nothing to be kind. So stop and ask yourself, what would an act of kindness look like in this particular situation? Kindness is a choice. Make the choice to be kind. Humility. Humility is the opposite of arrogance. Humility is beautiful. Arrogance is, well, it is ugly. I so appreciate people who are humble. And when we honestly take inventory of our own lives, there is a lot to be humble about. I have made stupid investments. I have voted for people that I later regretted voting for. I have said things I never should have said. I am reminded daily that I'm not all that smart, And I'm reminded that really smart people see issues differently than I do. I'm reminded that good, God-fearing Christian people often see issues in life differently than I do. That good people, because of their education or life experience, may not agree with me on a particular issue. They may be right, and that means I could be wrong. There's no place for arrogance in the church. There's no place for arrogance among the followers of Jesus. And patience. Now, let me say with all honesty that patience is not my strong suit. I want to have patience, so I want it right now. Just this last week, a woman in our parish said to me, she said, "Pastor, your reputation on the golf course is not one who's very patient." And then she reminded me that her pastor preaches patience. That hurt. What is patience? Patience is the ability to accept or tolerate delays, to accept or tolerate trouble or suffering without getting angry. Patience, it has to do with faith. It has to do with waiting on the Lord, but it also has to do with being patient and kind with those who you're trying to get in the car to get to the ferry to make that next boat. You see, patience is about breathing deep and relaxing a little. It's about accepting that we are not always in control, and sometimes all we can do is wait. Someday, I hope that someone will stand up here at my funeral and say, "Jim was compassionate, he was kind, he was humble, and ultimately, he was patient." If that happens, that would be enough. Compassion, kindness, humility, and patience, put them together, you have a recipe for a good life, you have a recipe for a good funeral. But there's more in the text. For lurking in the text, just a little further down the line, is the threat that I talked about earlier. The threat to abundant life and the threat to our legacy. Human relationships can go a long way on compassion and kindness, humility, and patience, but no relationship can thrive or survive without forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a recommendation in the Bible. It's a must. As we have been forgiven, so we must forgive. Without forgiveness, there can be no relationship, there can be no abundant life. It's really just as simple. If you hold on to the sins of others, then you are sentencing yourself to a life of bitterness, scorekeeping, and misery. If you refuse to forgive, then you are making the choice to hold on to bad memories, to recall moments of intimate betrayal, to live with your eyes focused angrily on the past. If you refuse to forgive, then you are poisoning your own system with vengeful thoughts and wasting your valuable energy waiting for apologies that probably will never be spoken. If you refuse to forgive others, then your burdens will be multiplied. Your life will be less than God desires for you. And when you die, that funeral will not tell a story of compassion and kindness and humility and patience. If you refuse to forgive others, when you die, your funeral, like your life, will be ruined by hard feelings and regret. Now I want to talk to you about your life's work, not the work that you do in life, but the labor of love that will define your life. And this labor of love, your legacy, begins with a choice. She walked into my office this week, you'd all recognize her, an elegant, beautiful woman, a devoted member of our church, a follower of Jesus. She had an idea to share with me. It was a good one, too. And then, as if inspired by the Holy Spirit, she recited a poem to me, and here it is. "There is a choice that you must make in everything you do, and you must always keep in mind the choice you make makes you." And I was blessed. Yes, we have choices to make every day. Will we be defined by love, or will we be derailed by hard knocks and hard feelings? Now think about the one we follow, the one who went to this cross, and among the last words he uttered from that cross, as he was about to die after being betrayed and beaten and crucified, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." You see, Jesus refused to die holding on to the sins of others. he refused to die with hard feelings. Now, someone needs to hear words from you. Someone in your life needs to hear words of forgiveness and acceptance from you today. Make that call. Make that choice. The daughter or son who chose a path that you would not have chosen for them. The daughter or son who bounced on your knee and now longs to hear tender words of grace and acceptance from you. Make the call. Make the choice. The friend or family member who longs to hear words of release. Don't let the sun go down today. Don't let bitterness define your life or your death. Make the call, make the choice. Live and die with no hard feelings. And so I'll end again with the Abet brothers. When my body won't hold me anymore and it finally lets me free, will I be ready? When my feet won't walk another mile and my lips give their last kiss goodbye, will my hands be steady? When I lay down my fears and my hopes and my doubts, the rings on my finger and the keys to my house, with no hard feelings. Amen.